Amen. Amazing grace.
Yes. Amazing.
Grace is amazing. And all of us can testify how amazing it is. We might not want to.
All right.
But if we was pressed, we'd be able to stand like the writer of that song and say, God has truly been good to us.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to go in part two of our Jesus Said series. Uh-huh. And last week, we left off in Luke chapter 8. And we're going to go back there. I just had something to say about Jairus. Mm-hmm. And God had spoke to Jairus, and he was talking to Jairus when the woman with the issue of blood came up and just interrupted the whole thing. So we're going to get back to Jairus today, and we're going to talk about the faith of Jairus. We're going to look at Luke chapter 8, verses 41 through 56. Luke chapter 8. Sister, you got your tabs in there now?
Yes.
All right. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verses 41 through 56.
Yes.
And I thought about splitting it up, and I said, no, I want to get all this in, and this will be our reading for the day. Luke 8:41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people wronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody have touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Amen. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort.
Yes.
Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.
All right.
But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said,
weep not.
She is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done.
Amen.
All right.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,
thank you.
Touch us today.
Yes.
Make someone in here whole so that they can leave and go in peace. Come into our house today.
Yes, sir.
Put out some stuff.
Yes, sir.
Deal with us, Father God.
Yes, Jesus.
That we'll be stronger. And that we would be healed. And that we would also go out and tell somebody.
Yes, Jesus.
How you touched us.
How you touched us.
In Jesus' name we pray this morning.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Amen.
Amen.
At the prison, for many years, I was a CPR instructor. And you know, we went through the classes, and I had to go to Columbus to learn how to teach it. And I taught the classes, and we brought the little dummy up there, and we would teach the class, all the other officers, how to do CPR if a staff person or inmate had a heart attack. And the first thing we would teach them is you check for a response. You know, you reach down and you touch them and see if there's a pulse or anything. You find no pulse, you call for help, and then you go through the motions of CPR. Tilt the head back, lift the chin up. And I know they do it all different now. This was years ago. You cover a person's mouth with yours, interlock, and give it two rescue breaths and 15 compressions. I think they teach it now where you don't give no rescue breaths at all. They just want you to give compressions because, you know, the survival rate is very slim when someone's having a heart attack. Well, the survival rate when Jesus was on the scene, not slim at all.
All right.
Amen.
Jesus didn't need to know CPR. He didn't have to call for help.
Right.
He didn't have to tilt nobody's head back and give any compressions or anything. He just had to do what? Speak a word.
Yeah.
Just speak a word, because he had life.
Yes.
He had life. Jesus said to Martha, and when Martha was struggling with the death of Lazarus, and she had confronted Jesus, "If you had been here,
yes,
my brother would not have died." And I don't know if anybody ever looked at John 11:25, but he basically corrected her. He said, "I ain't have to be here."
All right.
He said, "I am
the
resurrection and the life." And then she still didn't believe me. He said, "I'm going to show y'all something."
Yeah.
And he called Lazarus by name. And we know in the Baptist circles, he had to call Lazarus by name, because if he had not, all them folks would have came running up out of there.
Yes, sir.
I know somebody in that cave probably was like, "Why'd you call him by name? Just say, come out of the grave." Amen. But Jesus was the author of life and didn't need any CPR instructions. So we find here today, and last week I thought that was a fascinating lesson on the woman with the issue of blood, but it didn't, you know, I left off with Lazarus, not with Lazarus, with Jairus, and I said, we just can't stop there.
All right.
Because Jesus left Jairus hanging there. But when we talk about the synagogue in verse number 40, and it says, "And behold," we talked about just a little bit last week, it said, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus." We talked about last week what his name meant. The enlightened one. A man with knowledge. A man with wisdom. Okay, so it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus," and this is so interesting, because he was a ruler of the synagogue. This was a powerful, powerful man.
Yes.
who taught in his synagogues Jewish law that excluded Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the scribes and the Pharisees had made up a rule that if anyone believed on Jesus Christ, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And so I did a little more research on what happened in the synagogue, and I was talking about the synagogue being different from the temple.
Mm-hmm.
See, you could build a synagogue, and we're going to talk about it probably later on, that there was a ruler that built a synagogue, and the people said that he's a good man, he has built us a synagogue. But any mere man couldn't build a temple.
Mm-hmm.
David couldn't build a temple. Solomon had to build it.
All right.
See, a temple was a place where sacrifices were made. The Holy of Holies was in the temple, not in the synagogue. So there's a difference between the synagogue and the temple. Synagogue was more like a church. But y'all wasn't like a synagogue church. Because things went on. See, you can be out of the synagogue for 30 days, more than 30 days, or permanently. But then, something you didn't know. You can go to synagogue and get whooped. Look at Mark 13 now. People don't understand. Synagogue was a place of discipline. And as a ruler of the synagogue, you was a revered man. You was probably the baddest man in town. You was like the sheriff, for lack of a better word. Look at Mark 13:9. He says, "But take heed to yourselves." Okay?
Right.
Red letter, Jesus talking to his disciples. "Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before the rulers and the kings for my sake, for testimony against them." Now, Jairus was a ruler. When they say they would beat you, that's literal. They would beat you. One of the ways that they would beat you, they would just take a wooden rod and whoop the bottom of your feet. That was one of the ways. And everybody know you was whooped or you was disciplined because, and they see you walking around, you weren't walking around normal. Say, "Oh, you've been to the synagogue. What you done?" Okay? Another way, they would stretch you out. They put you on what they called the rack.
Yes.
And they would stretch you. This stuff was in the synagogue. See, we always talk about we want to go back to the apostolic days. They didn't play back in the apostolic age. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. They were lying about how much they gave. And God struck them dead, see. It was some kind of church, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be nobody coming. That's the synagogue. And here comes this ruler. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And look at verse 41 again. "And he fell down at Jesus' feet." He was not shy about it. He was not shy about the fact that he wanted his little only begotten daughter healed. Okay? He loved his daughter.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing when fathers love their daughters.
Yes.
And protect them. And watch over them.
Yeah.
Don't allow them to be cheerleaders for the East High Golden Bears.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm going to get y'all going to an East basketball game with me. Y'all have to experience this thing. I come home, I couldn't wait to tell Sydney. I said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe. Jonathan was there." I said, "What you looking at?" They had the dance line come out at halftime, and Jonathan was like, "What you looking at?" They on shorts this big.
Yeah.
And they was marching. And they was playing Mooney, and all the little Catholic boys was like this. And the sister was marching. All right, that's another story. Bring some of them to the synagogue. Listen, for he had one and only daughter, about 12 years old. I'm in verse 42. Let me go back to 40 because I got off track with the East Side Golden Bears. See, that threw me off. And he besought him. That word means he fell down and he pleaded with him. He was begging this man that he most likely put out of the synagogue. Remember, Jesus was put out of the synagogue. Okay. When he came to when he came to Jerusalem, he was put out of the synagogue because they didn't want to hear his teaching. Okay? So most likely here's a ruler who represented those that had put Jesus out. Okay? And now this ruler who had made the rule that if anybody received Jesus Christ as Lord or even just believe on him, they would be put out. We talked last week about the boy in John 9:9. His parents didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. Synagogue also where all your stores was at. That was the marketplace. That's where you bought all your food and stuff. So to be put out of the synagogue was a big thing. It was a big, big thing. So here's this ruler who had most likely put Jesus out. He most likely had put this woman with an issue of blood out because he controlled the whole worship service. He controlled who came in. He controlled who prayed, who sang, who preached. He controlled everything. And if the priest said that this woman was unclean because she had an issue of blood, she was not allowed in the synagogue. Okay? Y'all with me? Okay. So, here's this powerful man in control of everything. Now he's getting ready to put it all on the line. Because the moment he came to Jesus and bowed down to Jesus, he had risked losing everything. Most likely he was himself excommunicated from that position of ruler of the synagogue once the chief priests and the Pharisees found out that he came to Jesus. Okay? Now we're talking about some faith here. Okay, we're talking about the faith of Jairus. Now, verse number 42. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years old. 12 years old, about to go into womanhood.
Yes.
Okay. A woman, a young girl at 12 was able to be married at that time. Okay. She was at a marriage age. A boy could be married at 13, so they could be betrothed like Joseph and Mary. And most likely Joseph was probably only 13 or 14 when he was engaged to Mary. Okay. Imagine that. Some of our 13-year-old boys being ready to be married. That's how it was back then. Okay? See, we have somebody ready for Debbie's daughter already, you know? She had nothing to do with it. You know? I say, Debbie, you raise her right, and I'm going to raise mine right. And, you know, I'm going to give you 10 cows, a couple of sheep, and a goat. And it's a chance that Jairus had already betrothed his daughter. We don't know, and we can just speculate on why he was so adamant about her being healed. I just want to believe that it's because he loved her. Okay? He loved her. And he wanted her to live a full life and enjoy all the blessings that God gives us in this life. So he had one daughter. She was 12 years old, about 12, and she lay a dying. And like I said last week, if you are in here and you don't know the Lord, you lay a dying. That's why it's so good to see the young people here today. It is so good to be in class and hear them running up and down the hallways and laughing and eating donuts. It is good to see young people in the house of God. Because I always say, you're going to worship somebody. You're going to worship God, or you're going to worship the first dope boy that give you
$20. All
right. Amen.
Or take you to the mall and say, why would you want to buy? Oh, that's how they operate. They see these fatherless young girls or these fatherless young boys and say, hey, I got $100.
Amen.
Drop this off. Some of our young boys are so crazy, so crazy that if you give them $100, they'll shoot somebody. No sense. Our people perish for a lack of knowledge. For $500, they walk in. I don't know what some of these young boys do $500. or young girls. It's scary. Fathers, love your daughters. Love your granddaughters. Love your nieces. Somebody gonna love them. But as he went, we see in Jairus' plea. I didn't give you the 4 points of this illustration. We see Jairus' plea. Jairus pleaded. He comes to Jesus and he pleads with Jesus for mercy. He's looking for mercy. Something that he most likely did not give.
All right.
I'm just reminded of the rich man of Lazarus, when the rich man was clothed in purple every day, and the Bible says he fared sumptuously every day, and Lazarus sat at his gate begging for the crumbs that fell from his table, and he gave him nothing. But the moment the rich man was in hell, he lifted up his eyes to Jesus and asked for the very thing that he refused to give Lazarus, mercy. Send Lazarus to hell and let him touch the tip of my tongue with water. But God is so good.
Yes, he is.
God is so good. That's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning, where Joseph was a picture of Christ. Joseph's brothers had threw him in the pit, sold him off to slavery, and when they came to him, Joseph had mercy on him. Some of us would have, we don't even want to think about it. Outside of God's will and God take his hand off us, we'd be the worst of the worst. Now, he was willing to come to this ruler's house. And most likely, again, this ruler was an anti-Christ. And he's coming to his house. And it says, and the woman, after the people had thronged Jesus, that word thronged means slowed him down. Stopped him in his tracks. They didn't have to. Jesus could have kept on moving. But it's because of his grace. See, he stood still for blind Bartimaeus. Okay? He looked up to Zacchaeus in a tree. And he stopped for this woman with an issue of blood. That's this kind of God we serve. He's a forgiving God. And he knew this man's heart. He knew what this man was sacrificing to come to him and to fall down at his feet. And look at verse 43. We're not going to talk about this woman with the issue of blood. We covered it last week. But God used her to hold this man up. To hold up this man of God that had healing power. He had healing power. And he touched. And when she touched him, he knew that power had left him. And he asked, he said, "Who touched me?" When last have some power left out of you? See, you can't leave out of you if it's not in you.
Yeah. Amen.
You study your word, you pray, and you praying for folks, and you fasting and praying and studying your word, and somebody going to come up to you one day, and they're going to talk to you. And I've talked to people, and then you just get heated up. You just get the chills. You ever talk to a saint of God, and you, your spirits connect, and you just feel a chill to go over your body. And you know that some power has left out of you. Somebody come to you for an answer, for a question, with a concern, with an issue, and you'll be able to give them an answer from the Word of God.
Amen.
But you can't give them an answer from the Word of God if you don't know it. You're going to give them some talk show stuff. Look at verse 48. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And he said unto her, he wanted to make sure she testified. He said unto her, "Daughter, be good comfort. Thy faith hath made thy whole." That's what Jairus needs to hear. Because that's what he wanted from his daughter. He wanted her to be made whole. So he wanted her to be made whole. So when he heard that, it had to be comforted in him. Some people would have been sitting there like, "Wait a minute. I was here first. I was here first." They knew Jesus was coming. Jairus, you know, some of us, I know my wife went out on Black Friday waiting them lines. And here comes somebody from the rear. "I've been waiting all night to get that TV." And here she comes. And you just stopped. And, I mean, that's a long conversation.
Yeah.
Jairus got a daughter that's dying, and Jesus is engaged in a long conversation about who touched me. And Jairus probably was saying, who cares about who touched you? You need to get to my house. Move these people out of the way. And Jairus had power, so all he had to probably say, get out of the way. They probably scattered. This was a powerful man. And Jesus was, listen. This woman got a need.
Yeah.
I got all power. I got enough power for you and your issue.
Yes.
But right now, she got a need. Look at verse 49. While he yet spake. Jesus was just talking. He carried a conversation. He's doing the same thing he did with Lazarus. I believe he was just making sure to get the child died. Making sure she was good and dead. See, so he said, God can't do nothing with us till we good and dead.
All right.
Some of us is too alive for God to do anything with. See, sometimes God got to he just got to kill you. So you just flat on your back and you don't have no way to turn. See, we mess our children up. We give them too many opportunities. Let them fall flat. Let them fall flat. So he's making sure she's just good and dead. And yet, while he's speaking, he's holding a conversation. Jesus was a talker. There cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Now, this is interesting here. A messenger from the synagogue's house. Listen. Saying to him, this messenger was talking to Jairus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was talking to Jairus. He wasn't talking to Jesus. He came up and probably whispered to Jairus. See, this messenger has something to lose. See, if you out there partying and drinking and getting high, and you get delivered, there gonna be some folks that's not gonna be happy with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay? It was your week to buy. See, you know, you got one person out of the pool. It was, you know, I mean, you got some, I just know, I ain't been saved all my life.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not coming to you. I wasn't brought up in church. When I was in church, I was a sinner.
Amen.
Okay? So when I stopped drinking, that affected some folks.
Yes.
They came to my apartment after I stopped drinking, and they looked in the refrigerator. And when you start drinking all this milk, they wasn't looking for milk. Okay. That's enough. I ain't giving y'all that's enough information. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Now listen, it's a shameful thing when folk in your own house try to bring you down. That's a shameful thing. When your own loved ones do stuff to bring the whole house down. And that's what we do.
Amen.
See, we got a name. Okay? We have a name. And we were brought up back in the old days. You had a name. And that name was important in the society. It was important in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And my father used to say, you a Neil. And it don't matter what your last name, you a Fitzgerald, or you a Napier, or you a Oliver, you have a name.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was our job to protect that name.
Yeah.
God's getting ready to deliver Jairus. Jairus is getting ready to be saved. I believe he's saved already. I believe God had already touched him. Okay? He says, while he yet spake, there cometh one, a ruler from the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, don't trouble the master. Does it sound like he cared about this daughter? Does it sound like this messenger had the same love for this daughter that Jairus did? Mm-mm. He didn't. You know what he said? Know what he's saying? Leave the master alone. Let's get out of here because you about to lose everything. And if you lose everything, I lose everything. Okay? That's what he's saying. He said, if you go down, I go down. See, there's some folks with these athletes and stuff. They got managers. And they got agents and stuff. So if the athlete go down, the agent lose money. Okay? And I know I talk about these charlatan preachers that's on TV preaching this message about money. And they making money. But even if one of them false teachers that's preaching a false message, but they making $100 million a year, do you know how much of an impact it would have on their own family? If God came to them, say if God came to a false teacher, making $100 million a year, and said, you know what, you need to stop preaching that false message, and that man was convicted in that, and said, you know what, I'm going to go before the people and tell them that I'm stepping down from this ministry because I know it ain't right. You know, there's some people in that ministry that's going to come to him and say, man, are you crazy?
Yeah.
You better get up there and keep on hooping and hollering, running around like a clown. It's bringing in money and everybody getting paid. What do you think in Job chapter 2, verse 9? Job chapter 2, verse 9. I'm just jumping around a little bit. We see the faith of Job's wife. Why didn't Satan mess with her? Because he could use her. Listen, Job's wife is saying the same thing this messenger said. Curse God and die. What's that mean? Renounce him. Reject him. Abandon him. Give up. So we can go on living our plush lifestyle. By today's standards, Jairus and Job were millionaires. Okay? And if Job just confessed, Satan went to Jesus and said, okay, and you know, they'd have been able to keep their stuff. Maybe, I don't know what her motivation was. Maybe she thought that. But Jairus had a lot to lose. He had a lot to lose. And I say this all the time. And y'all know I say it all the time. If you in here, and if you know the Lord, truly know the Lord, you lost something.
Amen.
Your faith has to have a value to it.
Amen.
See, you know, I mean, there's all kind of faith. There's small faith, mustard seed faith. There's great faith. Jesus talked about all kind of faith. But then there's worthless, counterfeit faith.
Amen.
And see, we can't show up at the pearly gates with worthless counterfeit faith. We got to have a real thing. God is getting ready to show Jairus how to get the real thing. You just hang in here, Jairus. You just hang in here. Now watch how a father, this is why I believe Jairus was saved, because a father protects his children. God is our father. Our father whom art in heaven. Hallowed what? Be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. God is our father. And when I was a child, and if I was a child, I'm with my earthly father, and somebody said something to me, my father going to step in and, hey, this is my child. What are you talking to him for? That's how a father treats his own. Now watch this. Watch this. It says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler's synagogue saying to Jairus, one talking to Jesus. I believe he whispered to Jesus, said, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Let's get out of here, make a clean break, and go back to living like we was. She died. Okay? But when Jesus heard it, verse 50. Y'all with me?
Yes.
But when Jesus heard it, Jesus was eavesdropping. He wasn't talking to Jesus. That message was to have quality, but I got a little jazzy with Jesus. I'm not talking to you. You get ready to cost me all my possessions. Because if Jairus go broke, I'm going broke. So I can see the messenger like, hey, I wasn't talking to you. We don't want to listen. What we going to say? We don't care how we talk to Jesus. Which how you talk? You ever witnessed somebody about Jesus? I'm saying, I don't want to hear about your Jesus. I don't care about Jesus. You go on and do that. Some folks say, Jesus, that's what you do.
Right.
See, some folks like fishing. Some folks like golfing. Some folks like camping. And we just throw Jesus in. Well, listen, I got my hobbies, and your hobby is Jesus. Well, listen, let me tell you something. Serving God ain't a hobby.
All right.
Okay? Serving God ain't a hobby like stamp collecting.
Right.
Or collecting Hot Wheel cars.
No.
See, some people throw Jesus in there. Well, you know, that's what you do. We talked about this morning in Joseph. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Absolutely.
And I always say, everybody in hell is saved. Everybody in hell believe in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to believe in him. Watch this. But when Jesus heard it, as that word heard, he understood what this man was saying. He was trying to pull Jairus away. See, this is a good message to new converts. Stay close to God. Stay close to the Lord. When God saved you, stay close to the Lord. This is why I know when somebody truly saved. When they get truly saved, they can be close to the Lord. When is Bible study? Y'all having a prayer meeting? You know, I mean, people want to, I just need to stay close because, see, you're going to be attacked. And your defense system is based on Jesus Christ. So here's Jairus, so close to the Lord, somebody couldn't tell him nothing. You couldn't come up to Jairus and say, you know what? He ain't real. Jesus heard him. Jesus heard him. That's all this message was saying. Listen, Jesus ain't real. Leave this dude alone, man. He a phony. He can't help your daughter and died already. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him. Jesus answered him, saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Same words he used with the woman with the issue of blood.
Amen.
The same words in verse number 48. Thy faith hath made her whole. Go in peace, young lady. Now he's saying the same thing. And this had to be, this was said to regenerate, as Reverend Jones was saying this morning, to regenerate Jairus' faith. See, this is a miracle in itself. Jairus' faith was failing at this time, and Jesus understood it, and he said, fear not.
Yes.
The same thing he told Joseph when Joseph was getting ready to divorce Mary, and the angel Gabriel, he came to Joseph and said the same thing. Fear not, Joseph. Fear not, Joseph. Told Moses at the Red Sea. Told Joshua, when Joshua was on the battlefield, he said, Joshua, fear not. Be of good courage. That's Jesus' words. Fear not. Some of you going through some things right now, and God is saying to you today, fear not. Some of you intimidated and thinking about what the future may hold for you. Fear not. Fear not. He's saying, fear not, Jairus. Fear not. He said, believe only. And that word, when he said that, he said, keep on believing. That's what all he's saying. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Young people, you're going through. Keep on believing. Keep on believing.
Amen.
Older folks, you're going through. You scared. You're getting old. Like Reverend Jones say, you get up in the morning, your body hurting. You know death is knocking at your door. But because you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can keep on believing. Keep on believing. Fear not. I hear Deacon Oliver say, I don't have no fear of God. I don't have no fear of dying. We've been studying that thing, and you come out on Wednesday because Jesus Christ took the sting out of death. Fear not. There wasn't no fear. I sat there with Mother Island, and I sat there with her when she knew she was dying. And there was no fear in her. She wasn't, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. No, that wasn't what she was saying. Matter of fact, I believe she said, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
The word of God says, who endures to the end
shall
be saved. And that enduring power comes from the Savior.
Yeah.
And he says, believe only, he said, believe only in me and she shall be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
She was dead.
All right.
She was hurt, believe her, her time of believing was over with. She was dead. See? And see, some of our young folks in here, they dead. They dead. They ain't sit here and play and text and write notes and scribble around ain't because they dead. And I know I preach all that ain't for y'all. Don't tell me my baby dead. Your baby dead.
Amen.
Spiritually. They don't care about the things of God.
Right.
They don't want to sing praises to the Lord. You got to beg them to do everything. You got to beg them to come to church. Listen, you 10 years old, you can get to church.
Amen.
You know how to use the phone. If somebody said, call pizza, huh? You know how to call Bellaria. You know how to walk into Little Caesar and say, listen, I just let me get the breadsticks and some wings and three pizzas and I got $25 my father just gave me. And you know how much it costs. You see, 10 years old.
Amen.
There is an age of accountability.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. So we go, oh, my daughter ain't dead. She alive. No, she's dead spiritually.
Yes, spiritually.
Because the things of God ain't sweet to them.
Uh-huh.
And I know this. Proverbs teaches. You can't get salt water and fresh water out of the same tap. So when we ask these young people to sing, and they've been bumping and listening to little Bow Wow and Snoop Dogg and Snoop Cat and all that, and then we ask them to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, wait a minute. Ain't nothing amazing about it. I can't even remember the notes. But they know everything. Little Mob D sing. All right. That's the kids' part. That's why we don't come here.
That's why they need
you. Let's move on. Listen. But when Jesus heard it, verse 50, he answered him. Jesus answered this naysayer, this unbeliever, and said, fear not, Jairus. Don't listen to these fools that tell you I ain't real. Don't listen to them. Believe only in me. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that what? Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. She can be made whole. Listen, Christ could do some things while he was on the earth that he's not doing now. Okay? He had power right here. Right now. He was right now. And when he came into the house, came to the house. Okay? He came to the house. And he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, John, and the father and the mother of the child or of the baby. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleeping. Now, back in that day, they hired what they call mourners or wailers. So this child was dead, and as Jesus approached the house, you could hear them wailing and screaming and crying because they was doing what they was paid to do. See, some of us will have to pay folks to cry at our funeral. We will have to hire folks to make some noise. Make it like we was important. Okay? See? Listen. They all wept. And they bewailed her. They was paid. These was paid crybabies. But he said, weep not. She is not dead. But sleeping. Okay? And they laughed him to scorn. Ain't the first time. See, ain't the first time they laughed Jesus to scorn. Okay? They laughed him to scorn while he was on the cross.
Yeah.
When he was on the cross, they mocked him. And they scorned him. See, that's part of the mission. When you go around here and tell folks that you love the Lord.
Ain't that the truth?
And that you're serving God.
Uh-huh.
And that you giving some money to the church.
Yeah.
Folks think you crazy.
Stay
in church all day long. Listen to that man hollering, screaming at y'all. And they think you're crazy. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Mm. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway and commanded, and he commanded them to give her meat. And her parents were astonished,
yes.
But he charged them that they should tell no one. Listen, I just bundled that all together just to say 3 points. 3 points as I close on Jesus showing us how to get the Spirit of God to return to the church. How are we going to get the Spirit of God to return to God's house? And God gives us the formula right here. First thing we got to do, we have to surround ourselves and put people in the positions in the church that are trusted disciples of Jesus Christ. Folks that are in positions ought to be not only faithful to God, they ought to first be faithful to God and then faithful to the church. And I believe we have that. I believe God has moved on this church and we have a set of trustees and deacons that truly love the house of God. And not only that, it's so what's so amazing about what God is doing here is that on any given Wednesday, we can have a meeting of all our executive staff.
Amen.
And there's not a church in town that probably can say that.
Amen.
That on any given Wednesday, all the deacons are here and all your trustees are here. That's a blessing from God.
Amen.
That's a blessing from God. The secretary of the church is here. When your executive staff ought to be at Bible school, Bible study, and they ought to be at Sunday school, and any time the doors of the church open, they ought to be here. We're talking about bringing the Spirit of God back to the church. And then the second thing you see in verse number 51, he says that the parents were there. Oh, we need some parents. See, we need the parents to be present in the house of God. I can get on the children all they want. But there ain't a whole lot of 13-year-olds in Youngstown got cars. They need to get here. And if it ain't important enough for the parent to get here, child ain't going to be here. So there's your first step to restoring the Spirit to the church. Trusted disciples heading up your auxiliaries in your key positions. And now we got some faithful parents who are 1 Corinthians 15:58 type parents. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's good. That's a good first step. Look at the second one. Look at the second one in verse 53. It says, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Now, let me tell you the second thing you have to do. You're going to build a church God's way. God's church, God's way. You got to ignore those that are going to mock you and ridicule you about the way you do church. That's a big step. Because folks ain't going to like the way you do church. Y'all need a band. You need to fill your pulpit up with women. You need to allow everybody to come in. And we should. But their coming in ought not dictate God's word being preached, verse by verse.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to be mocked. You're going to be mocked. You better be. You better be. I got a scripture on being mocked. I can't find it. I'll find it later. You're going to be mocked. And you better shrug it off. You better be thick-skinned. Because every time somebody offends you, you miss 3 weeks of church, you got a problem.
Amen.
You better put some Vaseline on. Let some of that stuff roll off of you. Because every time somebody offends you, you miss 3 weeks, then there's a problem. Because God's word is offensive, and we are fallen individuals, and we are not always filled with the Holy Ghost. Know how I know? So John said it in 1 John 1:9. He said, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. See, so Reverend Jones might say something that's going to rub you the wrong way. Forgive him. Father, forgive him. For he know not what he do.
Amen.
Got the second step? Third step is kind of close. Look at verse 54. And he put them all out. They're going to be casualties of war, brothers and sisters. A growing church, some things going everybody ain't going to be hanging in there with us. Some folks are going to say, listen, I can't do this no more. And there's a church for you.
All right.
Okay? And we have a smorgasbord of churches in Youngstown. Amen. And like I said, if you like singing preachers, you can find you one. If you believe you like women preachers, there are churches with women preachers. If you like churches where there's a whole lot of homosexuals going on in the church, there's a church for the folks that like to be around people of their sexual persuasion.
Amen.
There's churches where the preacher preached 10 minutes.
Amen.
And you got a high-powered choir. They'll sing 45 minutes all the way to 10 to 1.
Amen.
Y'all been there. There's churches where if you like praise and worship, they will praise and worship from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And it's whatever you want. But hear what Jesus is doing here. Look what he said. And he put them out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." See, everybody can't witness a miracle of God. For lack of faith. Now, I guess I had four things.
Amen. Let's go ahead and say.
I got one more in verse 55. Look at verse 55. Reverend Jones, right there with me. He said, and her spirit came again. See, when and this is a picture of our lost young ones coming back into the church. Our loved ones are coming back into the church. And I believe God is not going to bring them back until to the nucleus of this church is unified.
All right.
Okay? I know for a fact, folk tired of the mess going on in the church.
Amen.
And people are looking for a church that is where the pastor's accountable, where the trustees is accountable, where the deacons is accountable, where the church is run by faithful men and women of God.
Amen.
And when they find it, they're going to come back. But God is preparing us right now, unifying our souls. This is why fellowship is so important to me. Because see, when your loved ones is back in Chicago, and back in Atlanta, and back in Detroit, and back in Cleveland, and back in Columbus, I think I touched all y'all that recently went through some things. Who you gonna turn to? Your church family. Your church family. To comfort you and to lift you up and to call you up on the phone and say, I love you, I'm thinking about you, I can't imagine how you feeling, but I have an idea. Because I lost my mother too. Or I lost my son too. Or I lost a daughter too. Or I lost a father. Or I lost a cousin. We all going through.
Yes.
And it's important that we reach out to each other and lift each other up. This is the importance of a church family. And we've lost that. We've lost that.
That's what it's all about.
So when I say bring some chicken. Or bring some Subways, we're going to meet. It's an opportunity for us to get together and touch one another.
Yeah.
Or y'all can quadruple my pay and we can pay the high power man. We won't have no money to do nothing but come to church on Sunday. Like 90% of churches do. Thanks, sister. Sister, I'm starting to love you up in here. listen. And when the Spirit came again, listen, folks, and the Spirit is here, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Oh, come on now. Now, we're not talking about steak sandwich here.
All right.
Okay. See, if you're gonna be strong, you need meat.
Yeah.
See, I know there's some vegetarians playing in the NFL, but I can't imagine there's many.
All right.
So you're not gonna get 280 pounds eating carrots. Okay. He said, give her some meat. Oh, but listen. Hebrews 5, we're gonna be closing. Hebrews 5, 14, 13 and 14, listen. Jesus wasn't talking about giving her some meat, physical meat. He's talking about spiritual. We're talking about spiritual God here. Let's take this thing to the spiritual. Hebrews 5 and 13 said, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. This young girl was not a babe no more. She was 12 years old. See, when you go to a restaurant, listen, Ray ain't eating off the children's menu. Okay? Bobby's not eating off the children's menu. He don't want the niblets. Okay? Take Bobby to go to karate. So you say he's eight. And they look at you like you are lying. He's getting ready to eat us up. That will be $10.99 for him and Ray. Listen. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. See, you need meat. And I'm talking about doctrine. Bible teaching. Listen, some of us have been raised on preachers running around in circles and hollering, screaming, and singing, and you go home and, oh, what did he preach about? I don't know, but it was good. And then when you get into a jam, you cussing everybody out. Because you ain't got nothing in you. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look at verse 14. I'm going to close. But strong meat, a strong meat, belongeth to them that are of full age. 12-year-old in here, you're full age.
All right.
Okay. JJC. Full of 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
8, 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds. 9-year-olds in JJC.
Come on, say it, preacher.
Okay. You need some strong meat. You need some strong meat. He said, strong meat belonging to them that are of full age. Y'all not want me up here clowning.
Amen.
Setting y'all up.
That's right.
Setting you up for failure. You want to know something.
Yeah.
They're not talking about being ordained. There's some of these guys in here, these deacons in here been ordained. He's been ordained. You going to ask some questions. I'm going to ask you some questions. You're going to walk into heaven all your mess. What you know about my son? Did you worship him? But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised. See, strong meat, the word of God, exercises your senses. So when you out there, Joe and I, we've been going to Planet Fitness and we've been working, man. On the treadmill and 65 minutes on the treadmill and 40 minutes of working out on the machines and the weights. We exercise in our senses.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies. But God said we ought to exercise our senses. Studying God's word. Being prepared on Wednesday night. Being prepared for the Sunday school lesson. Like I said this morning, we pay good money for them Sunday school books. And they are informative.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some good students here. We got room for more. This is the Lord's day.
Yes.
We ought to be here at 9:15, and we ought to be. I mean, this is the Lord's day. We ought not be ready to run out of the church.
Amen.
He said, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised." Why? 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 Because our prisons and our jails and on our streets are full of crime, and we are full of folks that don't know right from wrong, and that's what it means to say we're not exercised to discern good and evil. We don't know the difference between good and evil. Somebody say, you know, this, just try it once, you'll like it. Listen, 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 listen. We used to call it the one-hitter quitter. Listen. One hit of meth, one hit of crack cocaine, one hit off of a joint that could be laced with some craziness could turn your life around. When you're not able to discern between good and evil. And it's so simple.
Yes.
It's so simple. One question. What do you you think about the things of God? Oh, you know. It's just simple. It's that simple. It's just that simple. It's that hard. This ain't rocket science. So are you ready to give all? That's the question. Are you ready to give it all?
Yes.
Listen. Listen. I got a story. I got a story. Closing. Chuck Swindoll had this. It says, legend has it that a man was lost in his desert, just dying for a drink of water. He stumbled upon an old shack, a ramshack, windowless, roofless, weather-beaten old shack. He looked about this place and found a little shade from the heat of the desert sun. As he glanced around, he saw a pump about 15 feet away, a rusty old pump. He stumbled over to it, grabbed the handle, and began to pump it up and down, up and down. Nothing came out. Disappointed, he staggered back. He noticed all off to the side an old jug. He looked at it, wiped off the dust and the dirt, and read a message that said, "You have to prime the pump with all the water that is in the jug, my friend. P.S. Be sure you fill the jug again before you leave." Suddenly he was faced with a decision. If he drank the water, he could live. And if he poured all the water in the old rusty pump, maybe it would yield fresh, cool water from deep down in the well. All the water he wanted. He studied the possibility of both options. What should he do? Pour it into the old pump and take a chance on fresh, cool water, or drink what was in the old jug and ignore the message? Should he waste all the water on the hopes of those flimsy instructions written? How about that? Let me read that again. Should he waste all the water on the hopes of those flimsy instructions written? No telling how long ago, reluctantly, he poured all the water into the pump. Then he grabbed the handle and began to pump. And squeak, squeak, squeak. Nothing came out. Squeak, squeak, squeak. A little bit began to dribble out. Then a small stream. And finally it gushed. And to his relief, cool water poured out of the rusty pump. Eagerly he filled the jug and drank from it. He filled it another time and once again drank its refreshing contents. Then he filled the jug for the next traveler. He filled it to the top. Popped the cork back on it and added this little note. Believe me, it really works.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And the meaning of it is, you have to give it all away before you can get anything back.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. It's just so sweet to our hearts. Father God, we thank you for making those in here that are whole. We thank you for those who have a desire for the word of God, that love the people of God and the fellowship of God. We ask, Father God, that you would just be with us today. Let us take this message home in our hearts. Let it dwell in us richly. And let us think about our behavior in church. Father God, touch our young people. Let them realize, Father God, that they need the Lord. They need the Lord today. Give them strength, Father God, to fend off all the ridicule, all the mockery, all the scorning that they get for being children of God. Or let them know, like I said before, Father God, that they one day they're going to be lawyers and doctors, and they'll be serving and defending those that have gone on ahead without Jesus Christ. We pray for the leadership here. We pray for the new chairman of our trustee board and the great responsibility that you've given her. We ask that the church would come together as one, that we would be unified in spirit, that we would enjoy the fellowship of being with one another. Father, I personally like to thank you for this minister that you placed in this pulpit with me. Thank you for his support and his encouragement. Thank you for the long phone conversations we have. Thank you for these deacons, Father God, they're sitting here so faithful and united. What a blessing.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open.
Amen. Amen.